How do you build a high-performance team? That's the question that all leaders grapple with. The challenge in today's environment is that you're told to pull this off on a shoestring budget and that you have to exceed previous year's production. It's an impossible task. Here's how this show helps. Every week, we're going to feature executive and senior leaders from HR, IT, and sales, and they're going to share their best practices and playbooks so you can empower your managers to build great teams. We are Engaging Leadership, and now, here's the show. This is your friendly neighborhood talent strategy nerd, Dr. Jim, and we are here for our milestone 200th episode. And joining me today is the other half of the dynamic duo, CT. Welcome to the show.
Hey, it's good to be back. It feels a bit unusual now, both of us on the same show, but it's cool.
It's been a long time, so it's going to be a pretty interesting conversation. I think for the listeners tuning in, we wanted to relay a number of important things that's going to be happening in season 3 of the show, and it made sense for both of us to be on here. So in this conversation, we're going to cover a handful of things. Obviously, over the course of the first 200 episodes, I think you and I will have some unique perspectives on what we learned from those conversations. But more importantly, that learning is going to drive some key changes when we look at what the show is going to look like in season 3 and beyond. That's really the bulk of what we're going to be talking about today. Obviously, first of all, celebrating our 200th episode and all the great guests that we've had, but also talking through how that impacts going forward.
I was going to say, before we get into the business of this, it's important to recognize like 200 episodes, geez, that's a lot. And we, you know, it's a lot of work, but I think we've also owed the success of this to all of our amazing guests and you, the listener, because without you guys, there'll be no show. So thanks for listening. Thanks for being on the show and sharing all the insights.
Yeah, I second that. Thanks to all the guests and all the listeners that have helped shape the direction of the show. And obviously, the show wouldn't be where it is if we didn't have all of those great insights from the guests that we've had on. Let's get right into it and talk through some of the key learnings that each of us learned in all of those conversations. And I'll hand it off to you. What were the things that stood out to you during all of your conversations?
Yeah, Jim, after all these conversations, I can't even count how many that I've had. But one of the key things that kept coming up, a key theme that kept recurring was that while this was focused on HR and HR's role in building elite teams, what we realized was HR can only take the ball so far. Managers continue to remain the key activation node for a lot of the good HR initiatives that are being put out there. And this applies to managers at the C-suite. So you're talking about like the most senior leaders in the organization, all the way down to your first-time managers, your line leaders who are on the front lines every day. And one of the biggest challenges that we've seen is there's a bit of a knowing doing gap, I think. And this starts almost at HR. So HR understands what it takes to build good leaders, to have leaders demonstrate good leadership behavior, to drive impact, drive performance in the teams. But getting leaders to actually do that's difficult. And there are so many different problems around that. So some of it could be an understanding issue. Some of it could be lack of an investment in building managers. Some invest in building managers, but too late. Many times we've heard of leaders and managers who take on that people leadership role, and only then do they start learning what it takes to lead. Whereas I think the best organizations we've spoken to, they've invested in this earlier, far earlier, and they've identified their talent, they've identified their future pipeline of leaders and continue to invest in that. So that was one of the big learnings. Is that something that you've come across as well?
Yeah, that's pretty consistent. When I look at the conversations that we've had, it's fair to say the best performing organizations have an embedded leadership development strategy. And really what it boils down to is they're talking about getting people ready to lead even at the individual contributor level. And I think one of the other things that's interesting about those organizations, they're not really looking at leadership as a vertical path. They're looking at it, and it's come up in a lot of my conversations, looking at it from the concept of a lattice versus a ladder. So they're very open about making sure that they and their people know that it's okay to move to another division so you can broaden out your skills or try something different. as part of your overall career path. And that makes a lot of sense, especially when you look at how expensive it is to go ahead and hire somebody and also how expensive it is to be a churn factory. So when you have those things in place, it makes a pretty massive impact in your bottom line, but it also maintains a level of culture within your organization where you're not having to start over every 18 to 36 months because you've turned over your entire staff.
That's a really good point. And it's a good segue into the kind of second big observation that I've had, where this idea of investing in your leaders, particularly investing in your leaders ahead of time, that seems like a really long game that you have to play in organizations. And when we are in this day and age, we're looking so tightly at the return on investment of all of these different what can be seen as HR activities, they may not bear fruit immediately. And so for organizations to say, all right, I'm going to dedicate a learning budget to develop my leaders, this learning budget may only pay off in 3, 5, 10 years as they retain their leaders. But I think the most savvy organizations have found that when they run the numbers on these investments, they pay off multiple fold because they have quantified and understood what churn costs them. They've quantified and understood what bad leadership costs them. So a common refrain that we hear is B leaders would hire C players, whereas A leaders hire A players. And the way to keep getting your organization better is to keep developing and building A leader. And the framework behind all of this is a very data-driven and data-informed approach. So the best organizations that we've spoken to have tried in some way to be able to quantify the impact of HR activities, of the way that HR and leadership and engagement contribute to the bottom line of their organization. And this is not easy. We've had interviews with CPAs who moved into HR, and they would immediately tell you that this is not something that can be done overnight. And it's not a matter of getting tooling, because there's some good tools on the market. And it's a matter of having that mindset of being very business-driven, very ROI-focused on every single thing that HR is doing, having a clear time horizon of when to see that return and how much are we seeing and how much are we talking about with that return. So that was something that was interesting to me, or maybe because I'm a bit of a nerd when it comes to numbers anyway. So that just flowed into my conversations.
I want to pick up on something that you just mentioned, which was all of these conversations, the solution or the natural solution wasn't a tooling issue. It was something else. And what was interesting is that throughout these conversations, we actually were putting together the HR Outlook report. And one of the things that consistently came up was the focus on organizational transformation for a lot of the guests that we had on the show. And what's interesting about that, and especially your point about these aren't solution-driven transformations, I think that's an important point for a lot of folks to keep on their radar. Because if you're trying to execute a transformation well, you have to make sure your people and process elements of the transformation are tight. And it goes to what you were saying, is you have to be tight operationally from an investment at all of the key levels within the organization for those investments to bear fruit. And when you look at some of the common problems that exist within organizations and these problems that drive churn, it's connecting mission, vision, values that flow from the executive level down to the job level details of the task at the individual contributor level. And the reason why it caught my attention is your directors and your managers are the conduits for connecting those dots. And whenever you look at gaps within organizations that have churn or high degrees of churn at the lower levels of the organization, you can usually point to that level of disconnect. So when I think about the conversations that I've had and connect it to building high performance teams, the organizations that have low turnover usually have really effective managers and directors that are able to take the strategic objectives of the organization and draw a direct through line into the day-to-day task that somebody is working on. And that helps connect the dots. So if you're looking at an organizational level and you're dealing with a lot of churn, you might be well served in evaluating how well are your directors and managers connecting those dots from the strategy to the execution And that's going to give you some line of sight into what you need to prioritize to fix.
That is a critical skill that sometimes is missed out in manager training and manager development. And I think by mastering that skill, not only do you engage your teams and help them to be a lot more aligned in terms of where their effort is going and how it's impacting the performance of the business and performance of the organization, I think it also helps you attract the right kind of talent onto your team. And this was actually the third big theme that I came across, was you can have the best processes, you can have the best tools, but if you got the wrong people on the bus to begin with, then your bus is not going to reach its destination. So one of the first steps is being able to get the right people on the bus. And it's not about optimizing the candidate attraction numbers or about optimizing your hiring flow. It's really about, why should anyone want to join your team? Why should anyone want to join your organization? What's so special about you that someone will want to dedicate a significant portion of their career to contribute to your vision and your mission and your organization? I think being able to articulate that employee value proposition is so critical. And the economy may not be at its best right now, and some are saying that it's very much an employer's market. But at the same time, I think the experience of COVID has created a stamp on our workforce today, where people are just a lot more reflective and a lot more thoughtful about where they're putting their effort, where they're going to put their professional careers. And if your organization can't communicate that, sure, you might pick up some good people when the going is bad and when the economy is, it's not humming along as nicely as it should. But the moment that switch flips, they're out and you're going to be scrambling to try to figure things out again. So that was another really important insight that came upon me and that I learned from all of my guests, that attracting talent with the right, almost reputation, organizational brand in the talent market is important. And you do that, unsurprisingly, with people having strong managers with good reputation in their particular functional areas and good applications of data to be able to understand what is it that people care about when they join your organization. Why do people join? Your first 30, 60, 90 days, what is it that they hoped to encounter and experience with your organization? And does that match up with what they actually experience? So those are some of the things that I found quite interesting. What did you see?
Wow, it's been a great conversation so far. Make sure you join the HR Impact community, where we gather a community of HR leaders just like you. This is a space where top people leaders share actionable insights and practical playbooks. Sign up today as a member for the community. Get updates on the latest HR resources and exclusive event invites. You can join the community at www.engagerocket.co/HR Impact. And now, back to the show. Yeah, there's a related note that ties into what you just talked about. And when I look at the trends of the conversations that I had with my guests, is that those top performing managers, those top performing organizations consistently had a habit of deep listening within their organization. So they were constantly gauging where their employees were on a pretty regular basis. Now, that in and of itself isn't going to really move the needle anywhere for you. It's important that you listen, but if all you do is listen and you don't act, that's going to create a problem where people are just going to be fatigued from the whole exercise and not participate. So the best organizations and the best leaders and those organizations that consistently demonstrated an ability to move the needle in terms of their stages of their employee life cycle, they not only listened deeply, but they actually looked at what they were hearing from the people on their teams and prioritized based on the most important trends and then move those forward into action to resolve those issues. And that's the key thing that came out of a lot of my conversations, is that when you look at best practices, you have to act. And you have to act based on the trends that you see that are most impacting your ability to attract, develop, and retain your people. So that emphasis and that bias for action kept coming up in a number of conversations in terms of what leaders that I talked to cited as big factors in their ability to build high-performing teams. So I think when we look at all of those things, it paints an interesting picture, and it also drives the direction, the future direction of the show in some pretty interesting ways. When we look at the last 200 episodes, it was done primarily through the lens of HR senior and executive leaders. And I think when we look at the themes that come out, which are focused on building a leaderful organization, leadership best practices, prioritizing things for action, connecting the dots between strategy and execution, these are all competencies that still tie into characteristics or traits of building high performance teams. I think when we look at all of these things that we've taken in, I think one of the things that's going to be helpful in the next 200 episodes of the show is to get a broader lens and look across the enterprise, not just HR, but what functional senior and executive leaders are doing when it comes to building those high performance teams. What are their best practices in developing an organization that is full of leaders at all levels of the organization? And that's going to create some interesting conversations and shape the direction of the show going forward.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. And you're absolutely right. I think we need to take this show to the next level and have that microscope and home in deeper on what is it that makes these leaders tick. How do we actually get them to activate effectively and unlock the human potential of so many of their organizations? And we're going to be, I'm really looking forward to having successful leaders come and share their best practices, because one of the key things that we've learned is that human psychology is the same pretty much in every organization and every industry. But the way that leaders execute, the way that leaders lead, they can differ in so many different ways, and being able to pull some of the common threads across all of them, I think that's where the gold is going to be. That's where we're going to be learning the most to take this show forward.
I totally agree with you. And when we look at what's the problem that we're looking to solve, it's still going to be focused on how do you do more with less and how do you build a high-performing team. The nuance in it now is we're going to bring in the voices of functional executives and senior leaders into the conversation, talk about their best practices when it comes to building great teams through a leadership lens. And then more importantly, who is it designed for? We heard over and over again that there's often a disconnect between the line level employee and the C-suite or the boardroom in terms of how everything connects together. The way you fix that is by arming your directors and managers with the skills and capabilities that they need to really bridge that gap from strategy to execution. So this show going forward is going to be looking at what are those best practices, what are those habits that directors, managers need to be doing to really drive impact for their people. So much so that we're tying leadership and people impact together. And here's why. One of the big things that gets in the way of you becoming a high performance organization is if you can't retain your people. It's hard enough to attract top talent. And if you're doing a good job of that, but you aren't developing or retaining them, you're back at square one. So the intent here is we still are committed to helping organizations build those high performing teams, but it's through the lens of how do you attract the best talent? How do you develop them? How do you retain them? And how do you leverage your managers and directors so that they're actually connecting the dots to the people at the line level? Because the reality of it is that if you're looking at why people leave, some of the biggest reasons they leave are flowing from poor management, from having a manager that isn't effective, from having directors that aren't effective. So if we solve that, that's a big chunk of solving the problem of turning the ship around in terms of some of the negative outcomes that comes out of having a high churn culture.
Yeah, that old saying that people join companies but leave managers or leave their bosses, I think very much that hasn't changed in the past 20 years. And we've been teasing it for a bit. Do you think it's time for us to reveal the name of the show?
I'll let you lead into that. Take it away. Do we have a drum roll?
Yeah, we're going to play that drum roll. Drum roll, please. So the new name of the show is now Engaging Leadership. And Jim and I and our team, we've been talking about this for a bit. And I personally really like it because it encapsulates almost everything that we've learned and puts that focus squarely on where it needs to be, on the leaders and leadership across the organization at every level. And what we have a bit of a double entendre going on with engaging leadership, because we want to focus on what it takes to be an engaging leader, but we also recognize that it's important to invest in engaging people leaders and engaging leaders within the organization to be able to drive the impact that you want. So I'm really excited by this new direction and everything that we're going to learn from the guests that we're talking to.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And I think if you're taking the purpose of the show and putting it on a bumper sticker, it's still under the umbrella of building high performance teams. But the question that we tackle is, how do you engage your leaders and drive impact for your people? Because that's really the thing. Everything that you do at the enterprise level, at all levels, is about making an impact on the people that roll into you and the people that you serve. The future of the show is going to be focused in on that, not just from an HR lens, but from an enterprise lens. What can we do to crowdsource all of that great knowledge, those great best practices, so that your leaders are engaged and they're driving impact for your people? So looking forward to getting this pushed out. So this is episode 200. From 201 going forward, we've changed from the HR Impact Show to the Engaging Leadership Show. And we're going to be talking about building high performance teams, but it's going to be focused on how to engage your leaders and drive impact for your people. Thanks for listening to this episode of Engaging Leadership. We hope you liked the conversation. Don't forget to continue supporting us by joining the HR Impact community. You can find our community at www.engagerocket.co/HR Impact. Tune in next time, where we'll have another leader joining us and sharing with us the game-changing insights that help them build high-performing teams.